Hi, this is Russ, 31 Days Ablaze. Listen, my dear brother and sister in Christ, this is the day the Lord has made. Listen, we can rejoice and be glad in it. This month that we're dealing with prophetic revelation, and I go back to Romans, listen, chapter 16, verse 26. But now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. Now, listen, I believe the word of God was written, especially when you read the Gospel of John, these things were written that you might believe. The Bible is the great evangelist. It's the great communicator of God in reference to redemption. Listen, God really wants people saved. He wanted you saved. That means that all the issues of sin, Satan, death, hell, all of it has been taken care of by what Jesus did at the cross. So as you and I meet with the living Christ today, and it is a wonder that no matter where you go in the world, wherever there is a believer in Christ, in China, in Russia, South Africa, it doesn't make any difference where they can meet with the Lord and begin to come before that throne of grace, the same one that you and I come before. So in the midst of this day, as we come before the Lord, yes, we can pray for our daily bread, the needs that we have, the things that we may God give us the help we need by the Spirit of God to even know how to pray for ourselves. But let's also be great prayer warriors, an intercessor, those that know how to pray for the lost, for the church, pray against the dark side. So may God continue to raise you up, make you strong, and in that context of development, to know the Word of God well. Now, we are focusing on prophetic revelation this month, and we're on the 27th day. We're now going to take a look in the book of Revelation chapter 11. The two witnesses, these are the two witnesses that God sends. Verse 3 says, in reference to these witnesses, I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. There is this picture of them being witnesses of God, of Christ, and also the context of like Old Testament prophets, or at least what they're going to be speaking forth. I mean, the basic word prophecy has the idea of speaking forth, uttering forth the words of God. Now, there's going to be a representation, I believe, of the olive tree in reference to Israel and to the lampstand in reference to the church. Now, not being able to go into all the detail in 10 or 15 minutes here, we simply want to take today the fact that in all of the prophetic revelation that God gives about the end of days, about the great big events. Now, we're looking at some of the big events, the great rebellion or chaos, the rise of Antichrist and the false prophet. And then in the context of those last, well, the totality of 7 years, but here the reference is to 3.5 that the witnesses will have. Let's stop for a moment and think about the kind of witness we are. If you read the book of Acts chapter 2, the power of the Spirit of God falls in fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. Pentecost and the power of the Spirit of God and all that occurred is the direct fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. And in this we have that the sons and daughters would definitely prophesy. The sons and daughters would speak forth. That literally Jesus said when we would be clothed with power from on high, we would be Christ's witnesses. You and I stand as a witness, yes, by the behavior of our lives, but that involves the Spirit-led, empowered witness of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of this gospel. It is the best thing. It is the most awesome thing. It is incomparable. It is unequaled. It is the message of God's love, what Christ did at the cross, the way of conquering sin, death, hell, all of it. This is what God has done in Christ. And so you and I today, in recognition that our central focus. You can read about this if you want in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. That our eyes need to be fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. That scriptures, all that have been written, Old Testament and New, they all point to Jesus. Even Jesus said it in the Gospel of John. These are the scriptures that witness or testify about me. The Spirit of God is sent to testify about Christ. The church is sent to testify, to witness. And if you read the book of Acts at all, you're going to know that every witness was a soul winner. Someone that, listen, the gospel preached involves God's goal of winning souls, winning lives, bringing redemption. That's why there's invitation. That's why there's the concept. We can read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. An awesome verse to memorize. When Paul says, though he's free and he belongs to no man, he will make himself a doulos, a slave. He makes himself the slave. For what? To every man, to every human being, that he might win the most. Please understand that the concept of witness is to give witness to Jesus Christ. The Word of God does, the Holy Spirit does, the body of Christ's frontline and first agenda in mission is to witness, share, evangelize, lead people to Jesus Christ. Now it says in Romans, how can they believe on whom they've not heard? And in this context of our mission to present Christ and to take him to everyone, everywhere, all over the world, as a matter of fact, Jesus said in Mark's gospel that the visible return, he would not return until this gospel has been preached in every single place, that it saturates the world and that people can hear. Why? God's not willing that any perish, and he wants everyone saved. Those who reject or refuse to love the truth and so be saved, they perish because of that. They refused. They rejected. Could have been saved, but they reject. Now that's a sad thing. And even Jesus himself went outside of Jerusalem and wept over the city that rejected salvation, the visitation of the Savior. Now when you read in Revelation 11, prophetic revelation about what's going to come, yes, the great chaos and counterfeit signs and wonders and the Antichrist and the false prophet and unprecedented demonic manifestation will not only continue to rise, but burst out at the beginning of the revolt and the rise of Antichrist. We know this. And so as a believer, we are prepared with information. We're able to share. We need to be at the cutting edge. And the Word of God will give us the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Now that is beyond unequaled. It is what comes from God. Though in the world that you and I live in today, many people are seeking spirits and spirituality. The dark, finite side cannot lead people to God, nor do they want to. It is the Spirit of God. It is the Word of God. It is the body of Christ. It is you and I as witnesses of Jesus. Now, let's take a look again. Revelation 11. How you doing? Studying the Word, memorizing the Word, standing up again. Preach the Word of God to yourself if you don't have anybody else to preach to you. Stand up and shake off the dust and the attempted grip of the fallen world system, the old flesh and even the devil. Don't forget to resist the devil. He will flee. As you submit to God, resist the devil. Draw near to God. Listen, God is giving you and I the truth and how we can even get closer. And I want to say that part of that is knowing the Word of God. That's why God gave it. Don't leave it to prophecy experts and theologians and Bible scholars to think that they are the ones supposed to know about the two witnesses. That is absolutely not the truth. They should, but then so should you and I. When you read about the coming witnesses that God will bring about, that he specifies will unleash a witness and a speaking forth, for 3.5 years. And that's when the Antichrist is out there in the public beginning to do the reign and do his stuff. God has an answer. God's going to bring great power. Don't think that the last days are all the devil's. Yes, there's going to be many things the devil does, and yet we live in the unprecedented power and might of God. In the book of Ephesians, we're told that it is incomparably great power for us who believe. Or in 1 John, greater, Megdala, is he, the one who is in us, than the one who's in the world. Now, in verse 5, chapter 11, the book of Revelation, when these two witnesses arrive and begin to prophesy and do their work, verse 5 declares prophetically, if anyone tries to harm them, and that's because there's going to be those who will try. It says, fire comes from their mouths and devours their enemies. This is how anyone who wants to harm them must die. So you got to understand that the spiritual battle will be demonstrated physically, just as it is in persecution around the world now or in the days of the early church and the Roman Empire. Verse 6, these men have power to shut up the sky so that it will not rain during the time they are prophesying. They have power to turn the waters into blood and to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they want. Now, that's why in many ways people refer to this as Moses and Elijah returning. Doesn't say it here, but it's the kind of miracles or workings that was done through their lives. Bottom line, these are witnesses. That's the emphasis here in the Word of God. And the emphasis is they are prophesying. And it's very clear that there's going to be some powerful signs and wonders coming from these witnesses of God, of Christ, in the last of the last days, while the Antichrist is in power. So we must realize that all the way to the end of the age, just like Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, telling us to go and be, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them everything whatsoever Jesus has taught for them to obey, to observe, to put into practice. And then Jesus says, and I, listen now, this is God in human flesh. This is Christ who would ascend and be glorified, says, I will be with you always. That's the promise. That's the pledge. That's the reality. Jesus says, I will be with you always to the end of the age. He doesn't stop being with us when the Antichrist rises. He doesn't stop because demonic counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles, or Satanism, or the New Age movement, or all kinds of crazy things are going on. Jesus said, I will be with you to the very end of the age. The idea of the end of this fallen world. And so in this unprecedented, unceasing, unbroken, living presence of Christ, he'll never forsake you, never, never leave you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus said it in John's Gospel, chapter 17. Check it out. Jesus praying to the Father says, and that I myself would be in them. Christ in you, Christ with you. And so the pledge of the presence of Christ is incredible. And you stand, as Paul says later on in the scriptures, the Lord stood by my side. The Lord stood by my side. In your witness, in your service, in your prayers, in your praying against the dark side, in your spiritual warfare, in your walk with God in Christ, not only is Christ with you always, always, can I say it again, always, to the very end of the age. There is no fade, no lack, no diminishing of his living authority and power. He says it in the context of the Great Commission. All authority in heaven and in earth is mine. It doesn't change just because the dark side ramps up. So in prophetic revelation, Jesus, 2,000 years ago, I will be with you always to the end of the age. So when you and I say we're taking up the cross, we're stepping out to do the Great Commission, to help fulfill the Great Commission, to win the world to Christ, then the living Christ will be not only in us, but with us, operative. And the great example or the great testimony, you know where it's found? Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 20. When it simply says, the disciples went out everywhere. Evangelizing is the word. They went out everywhere evangelizing. And the Lord worked with them. Look what it says. Memorize, please. Take the time. Write it on a card. Take it with you. Memorize Mark 16:20. Disciples like you and I, they went out everywhere just like Jesus said to do, just like the Holy Spirit's power would lead us to do. And they evangelized. They were seeking to win souls. And the word of God says, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that followed. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. My dear believer, you can stand up. You can grow powerful. You can experience the Lord with you always and operative in the context of evangelism. Listen, evangelism is the best. Listen, that's the offense, the moving forward, the advancement of the cause of Christ in the kingdom of God. And that is where the power, the presence, in a sense of felt and manifested God among us, is really demonstrated. Now, that's going to be true all the way to the end. If Jesus doesn't come for 50 years, that means 50 years more, the pledge of his living, real presence, not only in us, being born again, but with us. Christ is with me. He's with me right now. He's with you right now. When two or three gather in his name, there's a sense of a manifest presence even of the Lord in our presence. Worship, it should be the conscious, felt, sensed presence. There's an interaction. It's really, really true. Christ in the midst of the body of Christ, manifesting in the praises of his people, embracing us in koinonia, in fellowship. Dear believer in Christ, as you and I take this day for Christ, as we step out in prayer, intercession, as we are worshiping the Lord Jesus and looking to the Word of God and being instructed and given the heads up, actually given the cutting edge information about all the things that are occurring and that will occur. I know that two witnesses are coming. I know that there's a representation of Israel, a representation of the church. I know that they are going to prophesy for 3.5 years and do signs and wonders. In verse 7, Revelation 11, now when they have finished their testimony, the beast, referring again, well, here it says that comes up from the abyss will attack them and overpower and kill them. And you would think that the dark side then wins. Verse 8, their bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is figuratively called Sodom in Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. For 3.5 days, men from every people, tribe, language, and nation will gaze on their bodies and refuse them burial. See how this is now globalism? See how now it's a global issue? These are global witnesses with global prophecy and global sign and wonder and massive, massive revelation and witness of God and Christ to the world for 3.5 years. Yes, battle comes up. There's an attempt. The enemy wants them dead. Now, when they have finished their work, this does occur. They're killed directly by the dark side. The beast that comes up from the abyss. Verse 10, the inhabitants of the earth. That is in reference constantly in the book of Revelation to those who end up taking the mark, those who worship the beast, those who reject Christ and accept the counterfeit Christ. And it says here, these inhabitants, these servants of Satan, these Luciferians, these who will take the mark, these inhabitants of the earth will gloat over them and will celebrate by sending each other gifts, because these two prophets had tormented those who live on the earth. Because the signs and the wonders deal with judgments on radical, demonic, and horrific evil. Is that the end of the story? In our troubles that we have in our life, is that the end of the story? In our difficulties, is that the end of the story? When Jesus was crucified and then buried, was that the end of the story? Revelation 11:11. The words of God say, but after the 3.5 days, a breath of life from God entered them. Obviously, none other than the Spirit of God, like in the resurrection, the exertion of the power of God. That's the presence living in you, believer. But after 3.5 days, a breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and terror struck those who saw them. The whole world's going to know, my friend. The whole world's going to see again an act of God. They're raised from the dead. These witnesses finished their testimony, but God wasn't finished. Though the dark side brought what seemed to be a defeat and an end to their witness. After 3.5 days, as it seems now, the whole world is globally in whatever level of communications, observing, watching, sending gifts, celebrating. A breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and terror struck those who saw them. Then, it's not over yet, then, they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. Come up here. God now says, come up here. And they went up to heaven in a cloud while their enemies looked on. Spiritual warfare, you better believe it. Do we have it today? Yes. Will we have it in an unprecedented level in the future? Yes. Will God be the victor? Yes. Will God demonstrate his power? Yes. Revelation 11:11. But after 3.5 days, a breath of life from God entered them. Come up here, the voice. And as the enemies, those who take the mark, the Luciferians and Satanists and those who believe in the rise of this world leader, Maitreya, Mahdi, whatever you want to call him, the Antichristos, the Antichrist, and all connected to him, the enemies, these individuals looked as they were alive again and ascending up into heaven by the call of God. Is it over yet? No. Verse 13. At that very hour, there was a severe earthquake, and a tenth of the city collapsed. 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake. And the survivors were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. Even this judgment, even this victory in spiritual warfare is so demonstrative in the days of the tribulation, in the days of the actions and activity and leadership of the Antichrist, in the apex and pinnacle of satanic presence, manifestation, and power. And even though the beast comes from the abyss and kills the two witnesses, that's not it. It's not over. In your life right now, no matter what's occurred, you've been thrown down, you've been beaten up, you've been hurt. The enemy, the beast, in some sense, the enemy has harmed you in some way. It's not over. Let God raise you up. Remember the words, but after this, but after the things that go on in your life, let God, the breath of God, the life of God, the presence of God, the Spirit of God, the living Christ, raise you up. Listen to him as he speaks to you the words to boldly come to the throne of grace, to stand up with worship and praise, to submit to God, resist the devil, to draw near to God and let God draw near to you. Come on, believer. Stand up stronger. Defy the defeats. Defy the discouragement. Defy the hardships. And in the presence of God, in the unceasing, unbroken, and forever presence of the living, personal Lord Jesus Christ, in you, with you, the Lord standing by your side. Doesn't make any difference if there's enemies. As God demonstrates his power in you as a witness of Jesus Christ, the enemies can look on as God operates in your life. Well, listen, my friend, this is about the future. This is what's coming to the world. And once again, what is prophesied is this massive witness of God to the world in the context of spiritual warfare, where there is seeming defeat eventually, but not, because God continues to act and continues to act and continues to demonstrate, to move people back to the God of heaven. I pray that your life is a powerful witness of God today, to move people to give glory to God, the God of heaven, to turn people to Jesus Christ. Listen, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. May God bless you today.